Radio.com.
It's time for the most knowledgeable and informative show based around the world of professional wrestling. Thought we weren't supposed to use that word anymore. OWW Radio, with your host, Mr. Personality, Alan Wojcik.
It's not my fault I happen to be charismatic.
Along with the loudmouth assassin, the Spud Guy.
I just act that way to get chicks, dumbass.
The resident Aussie, Mace.
I am not going to lie to these people just because it makes them feel good.
Guest starring Kevin Scott as Jamal.
What it is, my missus, I got Jamal.
What? It's time for OWW Radio, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Good evening. Welcome to another edition of Online World of Wrestling Radio, powered by the Wild Talk Radio Network. We're kicking it old school hip hop tonight, so that was some EPMD that'll be played. Some other fun stuff will join us here. The number is always 267-297-1397. If you Skype Sir Rockin', all one word, no spaces, and you will get on the call tonight. Later on, we will get into all the fun that has gone on in WWE and TNA. We'll talk about the wonderful world of driving through the North Carolinas. But first, we're going to be joined by a gentleman who has been a part of the WWE roster. He was trained in FCW and was a part of the one of the hottest angles of 2010. He was a member of the dreaded Nexus. He's actually currently getting suited up at a FUW show down in Largo, Florida. The one and only Michael Tarver is with us. Thank you for taking time for us.
No problem. Thank you for having me. Thank you for a good intro. Thank you very much.
Thank you. You can be followed on Twitter at TyroneEvansB20, and I happened to go to your page, and it said that last evening you actually were in Clearwater, Florida at the Sheriff's Youth Ranch. Can you... Talk about what are you a part of programs at that facility? Is that what goes on with that?
Well, basically, I'm not a part of a program. It's a thing that I do from my church. Basically, I just go and I speak to at-risk youth at juvenile detention centers and places like the youth ranch around Tampa area and Orlando area as well. And it's pretty cool because the kids tend to know who I am for wrestling. They're all fans, so. It's a good thing for me to do to be able to speak to them, kind of lead them in a positive direction, and just, kind of help them out a little bit. It's exciting for them. It's exciting for me. I love talking. So, that's something that's a lot of fun.
With your connections in the wrestling business, do you try to steer them towards a wrestling school? Perhaps it could be an outlet for some of that inward aggression that they have?
Anything positive. I steer them towards anything positive, exercise. I'm very spiritual. I share my beliefs with them, and, I don't expect them to do anything or perform any miracles. Just listen and have fun, So basically just being there with them, giving them something different from the normal day-to-day process, sharing things with them that they can use to help them relieve stress and deal with their life problems, and let them know that someone else has problems and things that they have to deal with them as well, and that superstars or celebrities as they might view them, just normal people just like they are.
Before you were signed by WWE, you worked the West area with promotions throughout Ohio. But to go back through it, what was the seed in your mind? What was there that made Michael Tarver go, you know what? Professional wrestling is what I want to do with my life. I don't want to be a football player. I don't want to be a lawyer, a doctor. What made you decide you wanted to be in wrestling?
Well, I've always been a fan. As most people always say, it wasn't necessarily my dream my whole life to be in the WWE. The truth is, I didn't watch WWE until the merger in 2001. I was always an NWA WCW fan.
Oh, wow.
So I always cheer for the other guys, but And I started back in 2004. I started training in Akron, Ohio, and I didn't really. It wasn't something that I took seriously at first as I'm going to try to make a career out of it. I just, you know, it was something that was fun to do, and I got good at it, and I realized that maybe I should take it seriously. And, you know, WWE was far-fetched. There wasn't any thought in my mind that I would ever make it there. So I was aiming for TNA because I felt like TNA was a more a viable target, so to speak. And, you know, I started watching TNA from when it started, when they had the pay-per-views every Wednesday for 8 hours. You know, and when they were in Nashville, the Asylum. So I just figured, mm-hmm. Well, that's somewhere that I can aim for, you know. But and as things progressed over that 4 years, I started to grow, make connections, and meet people, and work in different places and bigger places, and meet more people, and get, you know, mentored by a lot of really experienced people, and it really helped me out.
Now, I brought this up off the air, and I want to bring this up again, just so people can kind of understand the seedy underworld that is indie wrestling at times.
And it is very seedy.
you and I and another individual that you and I both know in common used to wrestle under the name Rogue, but his name is Brian.
Okay.
You know who I'm talking about?
I think that's what was his name again?
Rogue. He had Purgatory tattooed across his belly.
Okay. Yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
He used to wrestle with you in UWC, UCW, something like that.
Okay. Yeah. Rogue. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I know. Yeah.
We were all booked together on the show in Cuyahoga Falls, Macedonia area by a guy by the name of Jay Miller.
Yes.
who stiffed Heidenreich after and this is right after Katrina.
Yes.
Who flew from New Orleans to Akron to do this show and then got stiffed on the payday.
Yeah.
Have you ever been stiffed on a payday? And if you have, did you do what Heidenreich did, or did you take matters into your own hands?
I've never actually been stiffed. And the funny thing is that I was actually supposed to work with Heidenreich that night. So I was kind of disappointed because that was, you know, my first big name that I ever would have, you know, had a match with. So I was a little disappointed, but I've never actually been stiffed. And, you know, I did a lot of work for free at first, as a lot of guys do. I remember driving all the way to Philly from Akron to work for PWU with Todd Gordon, and the first couple of times I went for free, and that's an 8-hour drive one way.
Wow.
And, you know, I was just trying to get a break, you know, and not doing anything any different than anyone else has done or would have done, you know, to make it. But so I never really got stiff. It was just a matter of knowing when to stop working for free and knowing when I can ask for money and having leverage to do it. And knowing how to do it. And, you know, it wasn't really until I got with WWE and made it as far as I did that now it's to the point now that I can choose where I want to work and who I want to work with. And, you know, it's a lot more freedom than that.
You know, there are tons of individuals who do work on the indie level who listen to this program. Some are just getting in, and others are veterans. And you're the first guy to bring that up, and I want to ask because I think it's an interesting question. How did you personally know when you could go to a promoter and ask for 15, 20, 25, 50 bucks as opposed to just showing up at the venue, shaking hands, and sitting down and putting on your boots?
Well, here's the difference. When the promoter calls you, that's when you can ask for what you want.
There you go.
There's a difference. I make some phone calls and put out feelers and connections, and, you know, and the beauty of it is that once I, you know, when we talk, they realize, you know, they know who I am, and, you know, and they're very cool about it. A lot of, you know, promoters I've spoken with, and I haven't put a lot of effort into working in a lot of places, but once again, that is the difference. Is, you know, the difference of are you calling the promoter or are they calling you? And, you know, I thank God that I've been able to be with WWE so that way I'm in a position where I can have a little more control over what I do and where I go.
We've had several stars on the show that got the phone call from Titan Tower that said to you, congratulations, we'd like you to be a part of WWE. Who made the call, and where were you? What happened?
I got a call from a guy named Ty Bailey. He works in talent relations. I was actually in Cuyahoga Falls, and I was sitting on on the couch of one of my exes. She was kind of helping me at the time. I was in a very bad financial way. I was actually homeless. And I was sleeping in my truck and still traveling and working. And I happened to be sitting on her couch, and I got the call. It was crazy because I just had a feeling that the call was going to come. And I had actually just called Danny Davis because it was about a couple of weeks after my child at OVW, and I asked him, had he heard anything? He said, it usually takes around 3 weeks. You should be hearing something pretty soon. But, you know, he was reassuring me that I was definitely going to get signed. Like, they really liked me. And I put that in. I didn't know. You know, I didn't think I had a chance. And not more than, like, 40 minutes later, I get an anonymous phone call. I'm like, and my heart stops. I'm like, that's got to be them. That's got to be them. Sure enough, I answered the phone. I'm like, we'd like to offer you a contract and send you to Tampa, Florida. And I just jumped up and yelled and screamed. And, you know, it was one of the best things that ever happened to me.
Was coming to Tampa a culture shock for you at all because of the difference of being, you know, it's freezing cold a lot of the time up there in Ohio? You come down here, and I live 25, 30 minutes from where they train up near the MacDill Air Force Base, and it's sunny all the time here. Was it just a moment or two of going like, I'm going to paradise, or did you sit there going like, oh God, I'm going to burn my butt off down there?
No, I was elated, man. I was jumping around. I was yelling. I was screaming. I was excited because it was always my dream to move to Florida anyway, you know, being in Ohio, when I had never been here before. So I was excited about the idea of being able to come here, let alone live here. And it just, you know, gave me hope, made me feel good because I was in a really bad situation. Mm-hmm. And it was definitely a culture shock. You know, once I got to meet the women and see the culture and how it's, you know, it's not a very down-to-earth culture. It's very Hollywood. And, you know, I've been here 4 years now. I've learned a lot of things.
You know, like a lot of talent that was at FCW, and I covered FCW when they first started till about March, April of 2008, you went through many incarnations from the upgrade Tyrone Evans to Tyrone Jones to Tyson Tarver to Mr. Tarver to Iron Mike Tarver to finally Michael Tarver. How much input did you have with Steve Kern, Dusty Rhodes, and Tom Pritchard and the rest of the crew, and what name you had, and what finally solidified Michael Tarver as your name?
I had a lot of input on it. I originally changed my name to Tyrone Jones on the fly. Funny story, it was my second week at FCW, and we were at I can't remember the name of it, Bourbon Street.
Newport Richey.
Newport Richey, yeah. And we were there, and it was a weekly show they would do, and I saw how the fans were reacting to Alicia Fox, and she was still with FCW. So, you know, I just knew that I would be able to get a strong reaction from the fans with a heel promo. And I've always, you know, to my detriment, I've always been fearless. So I went to Steve Kern and told him, hey, you know, I can get a lot of heat with this crowd with a promo, no problem. And he said, really? I said, I can definitely do it. So he got on the phone, sent a text message, and looked back at me and said, you're on. I'm like, what, right now? He said, yeah. I said, okay, no problem. So I got up and interrupted the show, grabbed the mic, and went and cut the most heelish heel promo I could. Got booed out of the building, and there it was. From that point on, but during the promo, I had to introduce myself as Tyrone Jones because Charles Evans was there, and Evans is my shoot last name. So, you know, I just kind of came up with that on the fly, and then from there on, I pitched a few names, and, you know, they kind of went back and forth on it, and they decided to give me Tyson Tarver, which was two boxers' last names, which I felt a little bit obvious. But it ended up, you know, and I lost my name when Tyson Kidd debuted, so I pitched to them Michael Tarver because I didn't want them to give me a name like, you know, Bob Evans or something. So
Michael McGillicuddy, that would have worked totally great for your look.
Michael McGillicuddy, yeah, it worked great for his look. He's a killer. His last name is McGillicuddy. He's great, too, by the way. He's a good guy. Very talented.
So have you got – how easy was the transition from going from – 13 to 18 inches of snow to it might snow just a tad?
It never snows in Tampa Bay. Are you kidding
me? Never snows. No, it never happens.
Hell no.
Yeah, the day when I flew here, I went from like almost 12 inches of snow in Youngstown to 90 degrees at St. Pete Beach the next day. Like, it was just like going from winter to summer in 24 hours. And I literally had a migraine for a whole week straight trying to deal with the sunshine.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was a lot of fun.
Now, I have to ask this because I know we have a limited amount of time with you tonight, and good luck and be safe in there tonight.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
Consider it a verbal handshake from across the states.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'll take as many of those as I can get.
We'll talk handshakes later on tonight, too.
You got it.
But I have to ask this, and you know, coming from Akron, I've seen you wrestle at the Shamrock to, you know, all over the place. What is the best rib that you have seen on your tour so far?
Uh-oh.
Oh, well.
We have lawyers standing by if you need one.
No, it's okay. DJ Gabriel was there before he debuted, and he would always ride a bike to practice. And he always ride his bike to practice, and he was just like one of the best fit guys I'd ever seen. So one of the days he was at FCW, this was early on, the guys had a bright idea to take his bike and string it up over the ring, hanging it from the rafters at FCW. So when he came in, because he parked his bike, you know, inside, because it got stolen once, so he parked his bike inside the building. So when he came to the ring, and, you know, gave his bike and it's time to go home after practice, we couldn't find it, so we noticed that it was hanging on the ring. Everybody got a good laugh out of it, but I thought that was a funny one. That was the effort that they put into pulling that rib off was amazing.
I feel bad for Steve Lewington now after hearing that story. I'm like, oh my God.
He's well aware. He's well able to take care of himself. He's not a weakling by any means.
Yeah.
Good guy, too. Another good friend of mine.
Yep. Everyone that's listening to this knows how the Nexus was created on screen. But when you guys were told in February, okay, we're doing this show called NXT, were you told in February by this point in June in Miami, Florida, you guys are going to attack John Cena in the middle of the ring? Or was that something that came way later through the elimination of the eight of you?
They didn't know what they were doing with the week. So we didn't.
Ooh.
What I mean when I say that is NXT was designed to be a show that was spontaneous, so it created itself on a weekly basis. And yeah, most of the time they didn't know what they were doing week to week. But you know, in all honesty, in all fairness, that was what the nature of the show was supposed to be. And you know, what they would do is they would set things with our pros, and you know, the people who weren't our pros and other WWE talent, and we wouldn't know it was coming, because they wanted to get that knee-jerk reaction, and they got it. And, you know, it was something that was, and it made it real, you know. And basically it was like the ultimate test under fire on live camera, you know. And, you know, and it worked. Like, they didn't expect us to be as good as we were. And, you know, as far as the Nexus was concerned, we didn't find out that we were even doing that until right before we did it, literally that night. So it was just one of those things where, you know, WWE being what it is, it's a billion-dollar conglomerate, and, you know, it's very good at keeping one secret to be secret, and the things that people find out, you know, if they find out, because WWE doesn't mind if they find out. But what they don't want you to know, you do not know, even talent. So, it's, you know, it's one of those things where when we were, you know, when we were told that was going to happen, the rest of the talent actually that were there at Monday Night Raw that night, they didn't even know.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, no one knew but us. And that's what made it have such an impact.
Were you told to do all that carnage? Did they tell you destroy, pull the boards up on the ring and lay people out the way you did? Or was that just on feel, like especially laying out Cena the way you guys did? Did he call that going, nope, go ahead, destroy me. You're supposed to. You're the bad guys.
It was a matter of both. I mean, they explained to us what they wanted out of it. And they told us, you know, keep your mouth shut about it. Tear everything off. If you don't, kiss your ass goodbye. And they put that pressure on us to make sure they got what they got out of it, and ended up getting more than they actually ever could expect it. And, you know, they told us to tear up everything. So we went above and beyond. One of us lost a job over it. And, you know, they had no idea that it would become what it became. You know, and of course, then they ruined it. But, you know, it lasted. So, you know, I'm grateful I got to be there.
Were you surprised when they let Bryan Danielson go? Was that just like okay, they let one of the top indie stars go, am I safe?
Yeah, I mean, you know, and as far as, I mean, we were all surprised. No one knew that was going to happen. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't anything of a storyline in any capacity. You know, and there, with WWE, you know, as far as indie status, it's not something that they really place that much value on, because from it. Because the truth is, no matter who you are or were, when you get in front of those cameras in front of 20,000 people and a million people, all of that goes out the window and it's time to perform. And there's just a certain way that you work in a WWE ring that you can't work in an independent ring. It's just, you know, it's business. And, you know, people like to call it the WWE style, but, and I did too. You know, when I was in the news before I got there, I looked at it as, you know, it was terrible, slow, and they didn't do anything. And so I got there and realized they didn't do anything because, you know, that's the smart way to work. And that's the way that you get the most out of anything that you're doing. You know, you give away, and a lot of guys give away so much in their matches and they hurt themselves and they don't understand why the fans don't react the way they want them to. You know, but it's things that you learn, you know.
Michael Tarver joining us here on All In World of Wrestling Radio, powered by the Wild Talk Radio Network. Week to week, it almost felt like, you know, you were a fan of WCW back in the day. Did at any point in your mind sit there backstage with creative talking to you? Did you ever think, okay, this is like our generation's New World Order if this is done right? Did you ever have that in your head that you were thinking, oh wow, I'm definitely going to be a part of something that 3 years, 5 years down the line, even if I'm not in WWE, this will still be remembered?
You know what? At first, we had no clue. You know, the first night we did it, we knew they put a lot of pressure on us, and we, you know, they gave us an easy job, but they put a lot of pressure on us to pull it off. So, you know, we knew what we had to do going in. It wasn't until the next week that we realized how big that night in particular was when we were being played on ESPN and on the news and, you know, and mainstream media was biting on the idea that we destroyed everything, you know. So, and it, honestly, and then when it grew, you know, a couple weeks later when we started getting merchandise and started traveling and main eventing Madison Square Garden because Bret the Hitman Hart and once, that's when we realized how big this really is, when eight rookies are selling out buildings, you know. And obviously, of course, John Cena, Randy Orton, all those guys are there, but, you know, the Nexus was very much a part of a contribution to selling out buildings around the country.
Did you have to pinch yourself when you saw Hart across the ring in the Garden? Were you just going like, okay, wait a minute, Bret Hart, me, same building, same ring, oh my God?
Yeah. It is definitely, I mean, you know, at first you feel that, but they do, he was such a gentleman about it with our match. You know, and he was him and the Hart Dynasty, who are incredible people. All three of them, Tyson Kidd, TJ Wilson, David Hart Smith, they're incredible people, some of my favorite people I've ever met and worked with. And it was an amazing atmosphere, and, you know, just to be there and look around at Heath Slater, and I just kept looking at each other thinking, we're in the Garden. But, you know, it was an awesome experience, and it wasn't until I started seeing you know, the media, the magazines and articles and everything like that, that I realized how big Nexus really is. And in all honesty, not even being in WWE anymore, there's nowhere I can go where I still don't get recognized, you know, and it's like, wow, it was really a big deal. And being compared to the NWO, you know.
Yep. When we go to your website that's posted on your Twitter account, there's another personality listed there, B2.0. What can you tell us about B2.0 and this music project that looks like you're going to be taking up this year?
B2.0 is my stage name. I've been a musician my entire life. I have probably recorded close to 1,000 songs studio-wise and professionally, and I had a recording contract in 2001, I believe it was, and released an independent album in Ohio. And, you know, came very close to having a national recording contract, and things didn't work out. This was well before I started to start wrestling. So this is something now that I decided to kind of get back into over the past 2 years, except with me becoming more spiritual and stronger in my faith, I'm now working in Christian music, and it's a contemporary Christian, I guess you can call it, hip-hop project, which involves a lot of rap music and rhythm and blues or whatever. I play, taught myself how to play the guitar. I can play to a certain degree. I taught myself how to play the drums and produce music in studio, and I write and arrange, and yeah, I mean, I do it all, and I work with very, very talented, experienced producers. So it's something that I'm definitely working on releasing this year, two projects that will be a part of a bigger project, which will be a ministry and a book that I'm working on writing as we speak. So that way, you know, I figure there's, you know, there's got to be something that I can do with everything that I've experienced and what I've been through. And I know I have a story that somebody can relate to.
Yeah, the website, if you're interested, fans, is TyroneEvansB20, all one word, no spaces, .com. You can follow him through TyroneEvansB20. Thank you so much, and be safe tonight in the ring down at Gasoline Alley.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Coming up after the break, we will recap the super show that took place in Nashville, the tribute to the fairgrounds, and also the evening of Rise and some ROH news. Coming up after the break, Online World of Wrestling Radio.
The definitive professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene. All this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a mouse click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Big Fishes,
Nick Foley.
Plus, the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling talents today. And the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christian Cage.
Brett Derry. Janice Michelle.
Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Brett the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Paul Hogan, the greatest of all time.
Jimmy Van the Boogie Wiggleman.
And tomorrow.
TJ Wilson. Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith. Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site of the pro juice. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
Do you have a certain passion? Maybe you're a geek, a wrestling fan, a sex enthusiast, or you just need something to do for the evening. Then come check out the Wild Talk Radio Network, providing you with the latest in online entertainment. Whether it's getting in the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio, or getting a little R-rated with CB Radio or Anything Goes, or whether you just want to play a game of Dungeons & Dragons with the geeks over to Talk We Talk Live, all you gotta do is head on over to www.wildtalkradio.com and check out all of our daily programming. Wild Talk Radio Network. Come and get wild with us.
This is the Ultimate Warrior! I am taking time from my job delivering pizza for Papa John's to tell all the little mortal warriors out there to tune into this radio program from the 7th Moon of Raxor in the Gaxan Galaxy called Wrestle Talk Radio. This show is on during the apex of the sun and the dark side of Saturn, otherwise known to the masses as Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Time Zones. Or when the WWE or TNA pay-per-viewerships finish and the Warrior stands supreme over the fallen victims of X-Lax. So go, puny masses, and listen to the show, because the power of the Warrior commands you to do it. Now the Warrior needs to go and deliver this meat lover's pizza to the mortals that ordered it.
Hey, you, go, Wild Talk. Wild Talk. You want Wild Talk? This is George the Animal Steel. Hey, you go. Bye-bye.
Thanks to Michael Tarver for joining us here before he heads to the ring at FUW, Florida Underground Wrestling, which you can find online. I believe their website is... There it is. FUW Wrestling, all one word, no spaces. Yeah, it's the only time you're ever going to have me talk about that promotion. That was a lot of fun. God bless you, by the way, Spug. Nothing like having a sneezing attack when you're on a radio program.
Oh, dude, it was rough.
Yeah,
that
we're
was
gonna,
rough.
Yeah, we're gonna get into some, quick indie news and notes. Thanks to Simon Says last week for stopping by to talk about the, Evening for Rise. Bruce Antee was a part of that event, defeated Francisco Chiazzo. Kyle Blizzard was on, defeating Sultan Ali and then Prince Hassan. In a match that most likely will be the one that'll end both their careers. Vibasis Vito DiNucci of the New Heavenly Bodies defeated Ricky Romeo. Jarrell Clark defeated London Vice. The Loggers, in a upset, defeated the Dark City Fight Club. No championships on the line at this show. Jason Hex defeated Tommy Maher. Naftali defeated the, one and only Cahagas. The Heartbreak Express and Raymond Snow defeated Eric Cooper, Tegan James, and Michael Patrick. Scotty Too Hottie, unfortunately, got the Duke over Simon Says. Tommy Maher won a 6'10" Rise Battle Royal. Yes, that's how tall Justin was. Very interesting to walk across the ring and see a very large gentleman and go, he's going to palm me like a basketball. And he almost did that to me on one occasion. Also at this event, Devon Dudley, Devin Hughes of TNA Wrestling came out, gave a great speech about his, time with Rise. Matt Morgan, who had competed in SCW against Rise in Battle Royals. Jesse Neal and Christina Von Erie left, some video messages as well. So don't forget, you can go to S is in Sam, CWFlorida.com to see all about that one. This past Saturday also, the event I was supposed to go to in Nashville, but hey, reality gets in the way. The Tribute to the Fairgrounds 3 drew almost 1,000 fans. I've heard a number from 800 to 1,000. Not 100% sure on the exact total. Unfortunately, Tracy Smothers, Jesse Bell Smothers, Athena, and Derek King were not a part of the event. The Boogie Woogie Man, Gary Valiant, defeated LT Falk in pre-show match. Shane Williams defeated Josephus by a countout. The show was opened by the steel cage match of Bill Dundee and Dutch Mantel, which was won by Dutch. Miss Maria, who came out, had a great weekend. Go to our Online World of Wrestling Radio Facebook page. You can see a link to a Make-A-Wish Foundation thing. Yes.
Why do you open a show with a cage match?
Not 100% sure. According to the notes on a Mid-South message board that I'm part of, that it took 15 minutes to put the cage up, and this is what's scary. The cage apparently had grass all over it, so be careful where you keep your cage, boys and girls. It took another 10 to get it down. The match apparently lasted 8 minutes, so you do the math on whether this was a good idea or not to open with, as you said. Bless you, sir.
No! I just got the greatest text ever.
Oh, Lord. Is it something you want to share with the rest of the group? Save it for later.
One of my friends, we call him Lily. It's his last name. His name's Adam Lily. We were joking the other night about something. And I said, oh, I'll wear my good kilt. And I'll remember just to wear the blue ribbon underneath. And he works at he's a paramedic at a steel mill, right?
Okay.
And he says, why is it that I'm working in the mill in front of an 8-foot generator that is capable of generating 138,000 volt, and all I can think of is the damn ribbon and the kilt.
I'm gonna start laughing in a minute, but I gotta keep some decorum here on this show.
Sorry,
it's okay. Like I said, go to Online World of Wrestling Radio, our Facebook page. You can see a link to Maria Kanellis' weekend with, Make-A-Wish Foundation. Cassidy Riley defeated Eric Andrews in this show. The Maddox Brothers defeated Drew Haskins and LT Falk. Wolfie D defeated Jimmy Dundee in the Battle of PG-13. In an upset, Hammerjack defeated Raven in an no-holds-barred match. Raven ended up taking him out at the end of the match anyway. Kid Cash defeated Jerry Lynn via DQ in what was the match of the night. The fans didn't remember why the Notorious K.I.D. was such a heat magnet in Nashville. The main event featured Too Cool, which was Grandmaster Sexay on our guest a couple weeks ago. Rikishi defeating the Diamonds in the Rough. David Young and Sigmund. The VIP tickets were apparently sold out completely. And as Marcus Pistorius, the promoter of that event, mentioned, in a couple weeks, they will be, I believe it's September 9th, is the date for that with the fairgrounds. So definitely check that out. And we might as well. We may be getting WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan from that event. I'm not 100% sure on that. We're working on it. Also want to, well, we'll announce it now because some folks may not stick around. As of this moment, September is going to be known here on Online World of Wrestling Radio as the Month of Honor. I almost feel like there should be thunderbolts behind me or something as I say that. With Death Before Dishonor, the iPay-per-view, which is the 17th, and then their debut on the Sinclair Media Network channels on the 24th. We've reached out. Kerry Silken will be joining us again in the next couple weeks on September 20th. Unless something changes, the one and only Jay Lethal will be back on this show, whether he'll be sitting in the same room as me again, scaring everybody and waking my daughter up, talking like Black Machismo or not.
Is he going to be in your house again?
He may not. We'll figure it out. It all depends on his schedule and what he's up to. And he graciously said, yeah, absolutely. He'd love to come on because he was a part of the tapings that went on. And I believe there's another set of tapings that's going on, I think, in Louisville, Kentucky. I may be wrong on that one. I know Death Before Dishonor is always an interesting pay-per-view, or DVD event back in the day. So we'll see what happens with that. But as I said, we're working on some folks. Roderick Strong's name has been mentioned. Possibly the one and only Steve Corino may be joining us again too, if we promise him some more baseball talk as we get close to all the wild card craziness.
Carino-san.
Yep, we will have the Corino-san back. That's in the works. Several shows, several websites, including ours, the forum at onlineworldofwrestling.com. I think WRWWrestling.net's forum had this up, and I think Ultimate Sports Talk had it going too. But I wanted to bring this up because it's been going on for a while, and I think Shane Helms talked about it. Everyone wants to talk about handshakes. And it's like, this isn't a handshake. So let me get this out. Let me preface why I'm bringing up handshaking.
No, I'm just saying, Lord, this. Because this was a large topic in the back this weekend at MCW.
Okay, well, we'll bring it around here and we'll give some opinions. This has to do with Matt and Nick Jackson, who you know as the Young Bucks. You also know as Generation Me if you watched them on TNA Wrestling, or Impact Wrestling as they're called. They did dark matches a while ago for WWE, and apparently Booker T and Goldust, Dustin Reynolds, had issues with them. That they didn't shake hands with anybody, they didn't shake hands with the veterans, they didn't come talk to anybody. They apparently did an interview with our friends at Slam Wrestling, a Canadian-based website. They talked about their time there, talked about that they would help, they were told they were going to be pushed, the X Division with the best wrestlers in the country. We didn't think that genuinely the push was there. They didn't think everyone was on the same page. I know a lot of the guys don't know where to go and have a question or something because nobody knew exactly who was in charge. This is what Matt Jackson said. 1 week we were running with Tara, the next week we're not. 1 week Nick and I have heat with each other, the next week we're in a stable together. Towards the end, people in the office didn't know if we were heels or faces, so we flip-flopped. We knew then we had to get out. It was actually the Bucks that apparently asked for their release from TNA Wrestling, and while they believe they could have done more for the company, they have no regrets in leaving. So, they get some work out of this, great. Some folks have already said, yeah, just stop doing the Hardy Boys gimmick and circa the 90s and you'll get far. But it leads back to the thing that Booker T and Goldust, Dustin Rollins were talking about. And it's this handshake thing. I've been in locker rooms on and off the last 10 years covering the business. I've worked shows where I've been the music person. I've been the ring announcer. I've been a character on stage. And no matter who it was, where it was, man or woman, if you're part of the show, I was always told by the veterans of Nashville, like Hammerjack, like Jerry Jarrett, Chris Chambi, yes, I'm name dropping, fine, I don't care. But these are people that are veterans in the business, like Tony Falk, that always said to me when I was first learning the business.
Now, you just name dropped. Now we need a movie reference.
We'll get there later on. Don't worry. But I was always told, shake hands with everybody when you're coming in. Shake hands with your leaving. It's a show of respect. Back in the day, Ultimate Warrior claimed, why do I need to shake their effing hands? I saw them last night. I just saw them so-and-so. So being that you are trained, retrained, retraining, whichever you want to call what you're doing in the industry, as someone who's been in a locker room, what is the proper thing for you to do?
Shake hands.
Okay, so it is, you must
shake. Let me put it this way.
All right. Mm-hmm.
I don't count anything that I have done in wrestling over the last 10 years. I don't. I am completely going, it's as if WWE can edit out Chris Benoit, then I can edit out the last 10 years of wrestling. Just personally. I did things the wrong way, and went to some less reputable people than I should have. Simply because I wanted to be in the ring and made some mistakes, and I'm learning from them. And now I am going through a very reputable trainer in Shasta and learning the proper way to do things and the right way to do things. I will say this, though. We are, as trainees, required to be at every MCW show to work security. We are usually the first ones there to either set up the ring or move chairs and clean up trash from the last show, mop the floor, get everything ready for that night's show. That's our job. As the boys are coming in, they're walking up to us and shaking our hands as they're walking in. They shake everybody's hands from the lowliest person to the main eventer because it's a show of respect. It also could be used as a sign of disrespect because you could shake everybody's hands but a couple of people.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So the thing about it is that shake the hand. Just walk in. When you walk in and you walk into the back, you don't have to sit there and have a 20-minute conversation with them. Extend your hand. Hey, how you doing? Walk right past them.
Yeah, because it's one of those things. I've been covering enough shows that it's a revolving door of people that I'll be sitting there talking to someone on a show. Maybe I would have been at a show where Michael Tarver's sitting there, and someone walks up to him, and they'll go, "Hey, so and so, okay, hi, I'm Alan." That's all I always do, no matter who they are. Even after the Peterson Cups, where they're working a Friday night and a Saturday night, I shake before we at the event, shake as we're leaving. Hey, I just saw you last night. Who cares? Hey, how you doing? That's that. I've never understood it. Another thing that I got asked the other day that, I'm not going to name the person because it'll out them. For someone that's in the business, explain for them the, brushing of your boots before you get in the ring? I could answer it, but I'd rather you answer it being that you're training.
I've always done it to knock the dirt off and not bring anything nasty into the ring. I don't know the reasoning behind it, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, I've also heard it's another show of signs, show of respect to everyone that's ever been come before you.
Oh, okay.
Is what I've been told by folks. Because I've been at events where I've seen kids that haven't scuffed their boots on the apron and they got their butts chewed out when they got to the locker room by some of the veterans. And I'm just like, okay, note to self, ring announcer, no matter how many times you get in and out, rub the boots.
I didn't know that. I really didn't.
You actually are busy this Sunday, aren't you? Give the fans the information on this wonderful base brawl event that you're gonna be there, whether you're part of the show or not. You're gonna be
there. I'm not part of the show at all.
Is that the base brawl event that McFoley's gonna be a part of?
That's base brawl, and we'll wait to pimp that for a minute because I'm working on something.
Okay.
I'm working on getting somebody on who can pimp it better than I can.
Oh, we're trying to get the Shasta.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Hopefully he arrives. We mentioned everything about the WSU event a couple weeks ago. Don't forget, November 19th, it is, I know it's already, I'm talking about a show in November, but hey, deal with it. It is an iPay-per-view. Don't forget that it is going to be Serena versus Melina, which I don't think ever happened in WWE. Which is a surprise, because I would have booked that thing a long damn time ago. This is November 19th, Union City, New Jersey. Breaking Barriers 2 is the event. You can order it through GoFightLive.tv. It's at the Ace Arena in Union City, New Jersey. They're actually going to be doing a meet and greet that also guarantees you seats. You can go to DOIWrestling.com or WSUWrestling.com. We're going to try between now and then to possibly have Melina Perez on the show. We're trying to work with her folks, see if she will get here or not. We have been in talks with one-third of the Midwest Militia, which is a very ominous-sounding name.
Stab you?
Why are you stabbing me?
Because someone just walked into my room and took my tortilla chips away from my queso.
Oh, look out.
That's like a woman in chocolate. You don't mess with my queso.
The Midwest Militia group is the U.S. WSU Spirit Champion, Sassy Stephanie, also at Allison Kay, and the person we're trying to have on, and that would be the one and only Jessica Havoc. We're going to work to have Jessica on the show.
I'll see her Sunday.
Yep, definitely mention Jessica. We'd love to have her back here. There's actually an event going on in Jackson, New Jersey that was just forwarded along to me. The Outlaws of Wrestling are doing a Wrestling Against Autism event. It is at the Jackson Moose Lodge, 1240 East Veterans Highway, which is Route 528. Some folks like Damian Wayne is going to be there, Twiggy Ramirez. So definitely check that out. Portion of the proceeds will be going to Autism Speaks. You can get tickets at the Moose Lodge or by dialing 732-703-3596. That is on the 28th, as I mentioned. So definitely check that out.
That's a great charity, by the way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's say the best part of that show in Nashville was $2 of every ticket went right to Make-A-Wish Foundation. So you could just sit there and go, not only did I get to help out a great charity, but I got to watch wrestling and have a blast doing it.
That's a great charity. That one. Oh, that's back again.
Ooh. Oh, here he goes.
I think I'll be right. That one and the V Foundation from
Jimmy Valvano, absolutely.
Yeah, that one and the V Foundation. I've always been a big supporter of.
Yep, definitely check all that fun stuff out. Apparently, Teddy Hart is going to be working in the indies again. I believe he's going to be working for Pro Wrestling Syndicate on November the 12th. So I don't know if his gig is suicide. Tim Stein's been spreading around saying, that's who he is. I don't know. Yeah. We'll cover this in TNA Wrestling later, but I'll mention it right now. If you follow Jimmy Wang Yang on Twitter, he posted today, finally I got paid, I guess better late than never. If you were wondering,
okay. I have a question about this.
Go ahead.
Because I've been seeing the updates on different dirt sheet sites and stuff like that. And TNA essentially called him unprofessional for...
Yeah, interesting, isn't it?
For making that public. And I can see their point on that. It's not that I agree with it, but I can see their point. First of all, though, if you are a professional company who is taking in money, how is it that you are allowing your employees' paychecks to bounce? First and foremost. And second, this is what happened in the dying days of ECW, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
They started bouncing checks and not being able to pay talent, and next thing you know, done.
Yeah, I normally don't promote other radio shows, but when it's a guy like the Honky Tonk Man, I'm going to promote his show. This past Monday night, I believe it was, he had on the one and only JBL, and you may want to check that out if you get a chance through Blog Talk Radio, I believe Honky is on. Oh, it was last Thursday. I'm sorry, Rock. And the topics, we'll go into TNA a little bit in the next segment because we have to talk about the wonders that is Matt Hardy and driving and trees and all that stuff. We'll talk a little bit. We're not going to go ridiculously in depth, but we'll broach it. One of the topics that came up was Vinny Roux, our buddy with a great t-shirt that we want to get made. And he wanted to know, he asked out loud why Vinny Roux does have his creative spot still in TNA. And this is a direct quote from JBL. We'd love to get him to quote it on here. So if you're friends with JBL, tell him to go to radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com and email us. I said, I don't get why they keep Russo. When he left WWE and went to WCW, they were bankrupt and then got bought by WWE. This tells you what kind of job he did. And he still has a job in wrestling, and Dutch Mantel doesn't. Blows me away. Don't worry. Dutch, when we talk with Dutch about that, you can go look at a Kayfabe Commentaries DVD on Dutch. We'd love to know too. Dutch has been doing stuff with Puerto Rico and whatnot. So hopefully that's something we'd love to get answered. Oh, speaking of live events, this just got sent over to us too. The NYWC will be having an event this Thursday at the Sportatorium in Deer Park. It's going to be a rapid fire match as the main event, one of the main events to, set up a new NYWC champion. The new horror and 2010 Peterson Cup winner, Sammy Callahan's going to be involved there. Alex Reynolds, recently signed to TNA Wrestling, Tony Nese, Apollonian, the number one John Silver, are going to be involved in this match. There's also going to be one for the Fusion Championship, which includes Dan Echoes, Ricky Cataldo. Oh, sorry, Kieran with his disciple Ricky Cataldo and Francis Kipling Stevens III. That is definitely an interesting match. They will take on the Fusion Champion, who was known as Stockade. So you can go to, I believe it's NYWC. Wrestling? They did not forward an address to me. That's not good. General admission tickets are 15 in advance, 20 at the door. You can call 631-667-6992 for more info and inquire about where you can do advanced ticket sales. Oh, the Man Scout Jake Manning is going to be on that event too. So is Mikey Ripwreck, it looks like. And the NYWC Starlet Champion Nikki Six, who was a part of the WSUI pay-per-view, if you get a chance to check that out. Coming up after the break, we will get into all the fun that was Monday Night Raw, Friday Night SmackDown, a little bit of Impact Wrestling. The one and only Jamal may be joining us. Jackie Feist from Triple Talk Wrestling Radio is possibly going to stop by and join us. Spug will get some Benadryl into his system, and we'll talk on the other side of the break. Don't forget, you can listen to us each and every Tuesday night here on Wild Talk Radio Network. You can also listen to us on Ultimatesports.com And WRWWrestling.net is another one of our message board friends. So we'll be back on the other side of the break.
A little did he know the little boy was strapped. The kid pulled out a gun, he said,
"Why'd you hit me?"
The barrel set straight for the cop's kidney. The cop got scared, the kid he thought to figure,
"I'll do years if I pull this trigger."
So he cold dashed and ran around a block, pop radios into another lady cop. He ran by a tree, there he saw his sister.
In case you missed it, this is what happens when WTR roasts Tim Stein.
Tim Stein is also not Jewish. It's horrible to assume the man is Jewish just because his name is Stein. You know, maybe that isn't even his real name. I mean, it's probably Goldstein or Steinberg. You don't know. He'd tell you himself if he were here tonight. And I'm told he's taking the day off for some holiday of his. I don't remember what it's called, but he pronounced it with a...
Tim really does work hard at making the WTR network what it is. Seriously, I'm not joking. Somebody pay this guy. He's like 65 years old. He needs retirement. He gets retirement, we get less Tim Stein. It's win-win, gang. Come on.
Happy birthday. You suck. You suck. You suck so bad. That's not true. You don't actually suck. You more or less blow. You've got a perfect face for gay porn, or at least a perfect mouth. That's what JJ tells me.
He's also not a pervert. The last couple of years, he had a wonderful and healthy relationship. He stayed with her every night. Constant, wild sex. You know, it's sad when they had to break up because he couldn't find the puncture repair kit. Don't get me wrong, they tried to patch things up, but Tim just couldn't bear the sight of her anymore. Not with a duct tape holding her neck closed.
Tune in to all the great programming on the Wild Talk Radio Network, as you never know what will happen next.
Wednesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you O'Tuttle Talk Live.
I got a 15 on the intelligence roll.
Okay, what are you doing with it?
Trying to find a slinky.
Okay, you find a slinky, but it's one of those cheap new plastic ones.
This fine. Go to the top of the stairs.
I yell, watch out for pink cans.
Duck.
Okay, since he is smart enough to say duck, he dodges the duck that swings down from the top.
Duck and dodge pink cans, ducks, and any other flying object.
Okay, you also ducked the free pussy that flew by, but that's okay. You're now at the top of the staircase, with a slinky in hand.
Put the slinky on the top stairs and tip it over.
I get our following to, well, not our, but Shaniqua's following to members, and we all start going, go, 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 go.
Alright, hang on a second. Dun. Oh, the slinky stops halfway down.
Oh!
God, I hate when that happens.
You know what? At this point, I'm gonna roll for the steal and the win.
Wait, what?
LAB Rules, Chapter 7. Subsection 15.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, you're right. Oh, I'm sorry. Roll a d20.
I hope Bob Barker doesn't own this castle.
For more geekiness, tune into O'Tuttle Talk Live, 9 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The following is the resume of Tim Stein, the inventor of the light bulb, the creator of the internet, a professional grass waterer, and of course, the real voice of wrestling radio. While only some of these things are true, what really is true is that Wild Talk Radio Network is part of the social media revolution.
Holy crap, dude!
And you can be too. How do you ask? It's simple. All you have to do is like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
Aw, you guys doing that stupid Facebook stuff again?
And by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/Wild Talk Radio.
Kick ass, dude!
This is the way you can stay up to date on all things Wild Talk Radio. Do it today, or Tim Stein will chase you off your lawn.
All right, this is the king of old school, Mr. Wrestling 3, a true legend in professional wrestling, Steve Corino. And if all those nicknames didn't really matter to you, it doesn't matter to many other people, because you're listening to the online world of wrestling radio with Alan Wojcicki.
Welcome back to Online World of Wrestling Radio, second hour here, Power of the Wild Talk Radio Network, our friends at UltimateSportsTalk.com and WRWWrestling.net. The official site is OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. You can also go to WildTalkRadio.com. A little bit of Orange Juice Jones there, kicking it old school. I know you want NWA. We did an old school West Coast hip hop week. We can try to maybe get some NWA in here for the Slug guy, because he's sitting there going, you have no musical background. I go, yes, I do, man.
Come straight out of Compton.
We'll work on that. We're going to work in a couple folks. Jackie Feist will join us in a little while when we get to WWE talk, but he is our resident TNA nut. He is Spug's favorite black person in the entire world.
He is.
He didn't know until we told him. If you're new to the show and you hear Kevin Scott, everybody's going like, he sounds like a very well-spoken young man, until I clued Spug in. It's like, yeah, he's black. And he's like, what? Kevin is involved sometimes with the Under the Ring blog that is done by Phil Strum, and he rocked and rolled around Long Island today thanks to a earthquake that started in Virginia and then made its way as far north, I believe, as where you are in Ohio, and further north than that. Yeah. So thank you for fighting off the migraine and the fear that your house and everything else is going to shake and joining us here.
My pleasure as always, guys.
Yeah, it's funny to have you two gentlemen here. Go ahead.
I entertained Kevin with idiots today.
You did. I appreciate that.
Oh, it got better. I'll send you more later.
Oh, good lord.
Yeah, speaking of here's a great segue to idiots. And no, we're not talking about the creative staff of TNA Wrestling. Believe me, we'll get into them in a moment or two. But a funny thing happened on the way through North Carolina this weekend. That's right, your friend and mine, Matt Hardy, decided to crash his Corvette into a tree. Now, I don't know if the tree didn't like Matt and just ran into him. I don't know. I don't know if the tree had grudges for everything that happened to Jeff. I don't know.
My question is if you have one Hardy coming back who's supposed to be on Impact this week, live from Huntsville, Alabama.
I don't know if it's live or they're taped, but they're doing the thing in Huntsville. Go ahead.
Is it like a tag team? Like one gets out of legal trouble and they tag the other one to get into legal trouble?
Yeah, heaven forbid I'm alone in court. Come on, Matt. You need to come with me.
Is there a rehab that can actually do justice for these guys?
Dr. No. Drew. Call Dr. Drew. Get these two geniuses on celebrity rehab. Get them sitting in there and let them open up their feelings and maybe it'll work. But according to both of them, neither one's got a problem.
Oh, of course not. Yeah.
Yeah. He submitted.
Trouble.
Yeah. Matt submitted to a blood test following the crash. Results are pending. Go to TMZ.com. Yes, I actually said TMZ on this show. And you'll get to see, the wonderful mugshot of Matt Hardy, where it's in the top 10 of worst mugshots that you'll ever see, I'm sure, in the world of wrestling.
Not as bad as Nick Nolte, but maybe a little bit better than James Brown.
When you think of some of the wrestling ones, go back, I think, was it Honky Tonk just recently did it on the KFIB commentaries? He did like the top mug shots, like Ric Flair's mug shot for the Road Rage. Big Show, he got arrested here in Florida and his eyes were closed in the picture. Dick Slater when he tried to kill somebody here in Florida. But let me gear this back around to Mr. Matthew, because according to his YouTube channel, I don't know if he's sober when he said this, but I'll read some of what he said. When the side window's glass smashed into my face, arms and neck, some of the blood did felt almost angelic. I went from being afraid to die to feeling like I was almost being reborn with some sort of an absolute pure life force. It was the most amazing thing I've ever experienced. I felt like I just received the blood of an angel flowing inside me. I know this sounds crazy. Due to these, I only have urges to help people, and miraculously, all my vices are gone. Spug, go right ahead and try to figure out what the... huh?
Apparently, Mr. Hardy snorted another line of cocaine before he put that tweet out. Or whatever the hell that was. For fuck's sakes!
Hey, cocaine's a hell of a drug.
No shit!
That's ridiculous. This is the first I've heard of the statement. That's, if you can call it a statement. That's, wow. He was reborn?
That's what he's saying. He was reborn. Now, Sorokin passes this along. We'll talk about Shane Helms' this fun in a second. Amidst his thank you message from fans and friends and family, Matt Hardy lashed out on a fan who called him a washed up joke. Hardy's contract, of course, was terminated. Amazing. You terminated him, but Jeff's still sitting there. He wrote in response, please best against me and insult and have fun at my expense. You've never done anything and never will. While I sit in home with enough money to last two lifetimes, so later you're blackballed. Yeah, that. Before we open it up to the rest of the world.
He tried to sound gangster.
Yeah, Jersey Girl, yes, the angel blood thing almost sounds like tiger blood, I know. Helms, go ahead.
Did Matt and Jeff Hart, or did Matt, or did Jeff Hardy and Charlie Sheen have some coke and heroin infused orgy and out popped Matt?
I don't know, man.
Well, thanks for the visual.
You're welcome.
You're just dropping all this stuff on Kevin and he's sitting there going, God, where's those goddesses that he had? Can we have them come around the show now? Shane Helms, the Hurricane himself, a buddy of Matt Hardy's, took to the twit as well. His is Shane Helms Calm, stood up for his friend of many years, and even called out some were going as far as wishing Matt Hardy dead. As far to post a link to an online wrestling site that had reported Shane Helms goes on the attack, Hardy's DOI. The story states that Shane had directed numerous obscenity-laced messages towards users who agreed with him, attack TMZ.com for breaking the story. Shane's response to this article, complete BS, how they make you look like the bad guy like that. I used to like the site. Yeah, I know. I don't know what site he's talking about. Little weird for someone like Shane Helms, who I know I'm never going to have on this show, but you were drinking and driving apparently on a bike or car recently, and you ended up in a hospital, so a little awkward for you to be coming on and saying stuff like that. But hey, that's just me. I've never had a drink in 37 years of life, 37 on September 1st, so I don't.
Well,
we'll
be you, buddy.
I'm more straight edge than CM Punk, and I'm damn proud of it. But this is just, if you're TNA, and I know this is a big, huge problem here, you're a private company, so you don't have to release, like WWE does, their wellness policy. You go to WWE's website. You can eventually get to the corporate areas and all that, and you will see word for word, page for page, their wellness policy. TNA being privately owned, but Pan Energy and Jeff Jarrett, they don't have to do that, Kevin. Is this at some point a Dixie, Jeff, whoever, Pritchard, someone's got to sit there and go, all right, enough of this crap is enough. You had Hardy, whether it was a work or a shoot, go to the ring at a pay-per-view looking like garbage. He's got jail issues. Hardy's possibly going to jail. There's rumors of pot, Kurt Angle being, you know, having his issues. Is there at some point you've got to just go, okay, I'm tired of this crap. Ric Flair, you know, doing the whole icing thing on TV, beer money, you know, the beer money thing, hey. James Storm is a professional drinker. I think that's what it says on his tax return. I'm not sure. But isn't there at some point you've got to sit this entire locker room down and go, okay, we, you know, people regard us as the number two company in the world. Even if we're the number one company in the world, you know, clean this crap up already. This is not good image that you want out there when you're trying. I mean, look at WWE. Spud brought it up, you know, a few weeks ago that Kmart is involved with WWE. The action figures are sold by TNA Wrestling and a Target. You're going to detract possibly some investors here, some advertising dollars. I mean, so to go back to my original point, is there a point where you're Dixie Carter, you're Jeff Jarrett, you're whoever, you're even Bob Carter or Mama Carter, and just go, okay, all you sit down, this is the rules, this is how it goes. Do you do that now after Matt Hardy, or is it already too late?
It should have been done as soon as Victory Road happened. Like, we all know that the sad part of it is nothing's going to change until somebody dies. It's going to take, if Matt Hardy, you know, hit the tree and didn't make it, that may have been a turning point. And it's sad to put it in that kind of term, but we've seen the track record of the company. As you said, they had someone clearly out of his mind go on pay-per-view and actually get in the ring and compete. I don't care if it was only for, you know, a minute and a half, whatever. They put people, they put Sting in a position where he could have been injured. They put Hardy in a position where he could have been injured. But going to the whole Matt saga, it's infuriating, it's frustrating as a fan. You do feel for the person, even though, you know, you might feel that they're going down the wrong path. It's a sickness, it's a disease. I do have sympathy for him, but for teenagers now to take a stand and go, oh, we need to clean it up, it's way too late. It should have been done a long time ago.
Your thoughts on this, Bug? Is he right? This should have been done a long time ago, and is it too late to start cleaning up your image?
Yes. It should have been done a long time ago, and yes, it's too late to start cleaning up their image. Going back to Jimmy Wang Yang with this, you can't let your employees' paychecks bounce. You can't let a knowingly inebriated person walk out to a ring and then shoot on him in the ring. They did the right thing by terminating Matt Hardy the very next day. Yet, I will say, Jeff Hardy's house and his meth lab blew up on his property. He was fired from WWE. Then he went to court over all this BS and yet still has a job with TNA. For the life of me, I don't know why. He should have been fired after Victory Road, immediately after. You know, this is a company, Alan, who is setting a very dangerous, dangerous precedent.
I believe it. I totally believe it. We mentioned the Jeff Hardy returning this Thursday night at the Von Braun Civic Center Arena, Huntsville, Alabama. Yes, that is TNA Episode 1. The tickets start as low as $20. You can get them through Ticketmaster.com. That is, I believe, not live on Spike TV. They're just listing it as an Impact taping. I think they tape 3 weeks worth right after the pay-per-view. Because if you go to TNA Wrestling, Impact Wrestling, I can't call it TNA Wrestling's website, they still list their next live events is September 2nd and 3rd. The 15th, the 16th, the 17th, and of course September 11th is their pay-per-view. So whatever you're going to see taped this Thursday night will bridge the gap to that pay-per-view. And then of course you're on your way to the, the Bound for Glory event in Philadelphia on October the 16th. As much as Spug hates it, we're going to run through a little bit of what went down this past Thursday night. Sting opened the show, called out Hulk Hogan. Yeah, he didn't exactly get the immortal bald spot. He got a man who, it's a shame to say, has a really bad one going there, and that would be your friend of mine, the Nature Boy Ric Flair, who it looks like at some point or another, being at No Surrender or an Impact event, maybe even the tapings this Thursday, we're going to get Ric Flair versus Sting, Kevin.
Ric Flair versus Sting for Sting's opportunity to face Hulk Hogan.
Most likely.
What year is this?
I think it's 85. I don't know. I feel 11 years old right now.
You don't want to say anything bad because, yes, these guys are legends. But really, this is 2011. This can't be happening. I don't want to see anyone legitimately get hurt in the ring, and it's getting to the point where Flair might actually have a real heart attack this time.
Bottle of Geritol on a pole match. Monday NyQuil.
Absolutely. I feel the presence of Steve Austin. I don't know why, but I do.
All right.
Go ahead.
Hold on. Because, Kevin, now that we've brought up this, I'm going to bring something else up because Kevin said he had to defend it.
Oh, God.
Now.
He's laughing already. Jesus.
Now, while I agree with Kevin, I cannot in good conscience defend TNA on this. So, I will say, I am not looking forward to CM Punk v. Kevin Nash either, but we did lambaste TNA a few years ago for main eventing Kevin Nash.
From my point of view, let me clarify my statement on this. I cannot really defend TNA because it's indefensible. However, there's a double standard out there where TNA is fair game for any criticism, and quite frankly, they should be. But if you watch, you know, if you've been watching WWE for the last couple of months, if TNA try to pull the same stuff that they're doing currently, we'd be ripping them apart every chance we get, and yet WWE is getting a lot of praise for the CM Punk storyline.
Mm-hmm.
You can look at the fact that it's a complete redo of an ROH storyline from years back, the Summer of Punk. You have, once again, as we just said, Kevin Nash is now in the main event spotlight again, where we were making fun of that 2 years ago. If TNA was to try to do that, you do nothing but, oh, it's another ripoff of, you know, yesteryear, why can't they get out of the past? But when the WWE does it, for some reason, they gave him a pass. It's because of tradition, because we've known WWE for much longer, they have a track record that we can kind of let it slide once in a while, or is it just complete hypocrisy?
I think a little bit has to do with Kevin Nash doesn't have a WWE belt around his waist and isn't the main event every week. They use the legends that they bring out to main event and do storylines like this in small doses. So, well, I can agree with you to a point, and I will say this. I think a part of the reason why we lambasted TNA for putting Kevin Nash out there 2 years ago is, come on, who's really going to be intimidated by a 7-foot Santa Claus?
Oh.
I mean, really. Just saying.
I hear you. I totally hear you.
That's kind of like, you know, who's really going to be intimidated by a black guy ringing the Salvation Army bell?
I'm not sure how to respond to that.
I don't know either, but that's just... We respond by moving on. Bound for Glory series. Scott Steiner defeated D-Von. Unfortunately, even in defeat, Samoa Joe has decided I'm going to lay out everyone that's in the Bound for Glory series since I have -10 and all of them have more. Austin Aries is your number one contender, defeating, in his mind, he ran through the entire gauntlet of Kevin Nash, Zema Ion, Robbie E., Mark Haskins, Alex Shelley, Tony Nese, and Jesse Sorensen. Dude, you were the last one in and you won. That's how you got there. Be happy you're there. On the injury front, according to Mike Tenay, after his beatdown, Mr. Anderson suffered not one, but two ruptured eardrums. Okay. Didn't know that was possible, but I'm not a doctor, nor do I play one on TV. Tracy Brooks made a return, so did her, her lovely body, as some of the people on the show would say. Speaking of lovely ladies, Megan James defeated the ODB. Another Bound for Glory series match saw
I hope you're not calling ODB a lovely lady.
I've met Jessie. She's a sweetheart.
She looks like she has a penis tucked away in them jeans.
I don't want to know, and I'm not going to tick her off because I don't want to get hit with a flask in the head. Because she's got a good arm. Jerry Lynn has cost RVD again. This time he cost him points in the Bound for Glory series. AJ Styles won that one by DQ. Crimson actually spoke, called out Kurt Angle, offered respect to him, but also said, I'm coming for you. And with having 50 points in the Bound for Glory series, definitely solidifies him as one of the final four, unless something happens and TNA botches this completely and books him way before Bound for Glory. And to the chagrin of me, because I'm a fan of theirs, Mexican America defeated Beer Money to become the new TNA World Tag Team Champions. This gimmick's getting really good stride, especially you involved Rosita, Sarita in this. Is this deserving, Kevin, or should this have waited for a pay-per-view, or is it nice to have a surprise and go, wow, a title change on Impact?
It was a nice little title change surprise, I guess, but where do we go from here? Obviously, it looks like Beer Money's splitting up. You have absolutely nobody else in the tag team division. Is it British Invasion? Are they still together? I honestly don't even know. But really, where does Mexican American go from here?
Do you buy the rumors, Spug, that when their contracts are up, Storm and Rude have interest from WWE, and if you're WWE, do you grab them?
I might, because it seems like WWE is getting ready to rebuild the tag team division.
Yeah, but of all the teams that are there right now, are they the best, most cohesive unit you got that you would say, yes, I want them?
At TNA, yeah, or Motor City. It's either them or Motor City. But, I mean, like last night you had the debut of Awesomely Truthful.
We'll talk about them in a minute or two.
But no, seriously, like I don't know. I mean, I don't see why the hell not.
Yeah, I'd love to see it. I think James and Bobby Robert, whatever you want to call them, have a great deal going. And hey, if fortune has to suffer for the two of them going on to better endeavors, do you send them to FCW for a quick polish, or do they go straight to TV? Having come off of, I mean, I don't know if TNA contracts even have the 90 day, but if they have the 90 day, with that 90 days, can you start vignetting them? Would you vignette them?
I would.
I think it'd be kind of difficult to rush them onto TV simply because they don't want somebody from TNA coming in looking good. So to get even some kind of a buffer, like maybe a complete total gimmick change, I really don't know what they would do. But I would be shocked to see them appear on anytime soon if that was the case.
Yeah, I think I know Storm owns the rights to his name. I know he owns the Tennessee Cowboy, James Storm. I'm not sure on Bobby Roode if he's got his or not. Before we exit, if you're following the Bound for Glory series, Crimson has 50, Bully Ray has 42. We just mentioned Bobby Roode and James Storm. They're in third and fourth. Bobby Roode's got 35, James Storm's got 33. So that could possibly be your Bound for Glory series final match at the September 11th event. I think it's under Fatal 4-Way rules, or maybe an elimination, depends on how the pay-per-view is booked. But then again, this is TNA, we may end up putting somebody on a pole, or holding James Storm's beer cooler hostage, I have no idea.
I'm hoping for reverse Battle Royal.
Oh god, they did that once at a TNA taping, and I just sat there going, what? It's like, wait, what?
I want to give him credit for thinking outside the box, but really, that was
horrible.
We're going to transition and, into WWE talk, and since Mace is on his sabbatical for the week, we brought on Triple Talk Wrestling Radio host, Miss Jackie Feist. Welcome.
Hello, Ellen. How are you?
Wow, she's very, very powerful with her voice.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry.
She's oscillating in more ways than one.
Maybe I should move my microphone back a little.
Would be a good idea. According to the interwebs, I'm not 100% sure of this one or not, but apparently Raw Best of Seasons 3 and 4 are supposed to hit stores on the 23rd. I believe they also have a Most Controversial Moments DVD that's making its way to the stores, so you can definitely grab that if you get the chance. We now know one match that will take place at the Night of Champions. Well, we know two, but that's going to change, as we talked about last week. Your World Heavyweight Champion, Randy Orton, will take on the winner of the 20-man Battle Royal from this past Friday Night SmackDown, and it is Mark Henry. Problems with this, Jackie? Are you fine with Randy Orton taking on Mark Henry?
I guess I should start by saying I'm thrilled in one sense to see Randy Orton fighting anyone on the pay-per-view but Christian. But I'm sorry.
What was wrong with the Christian matches?
Nothing. It's just that there were 50 of them.
So?
I tend to get bored with the same match 50 times.
You do realize that Hogan wrestled Andre close to 37, 40, million times before WrestleMania 3?
Oh, I'm sure. And if I would have had to sit through every single one of them, I probably would have been equally as bored.
Hmm.
I mean, I'm sure they were all great matches, but there was three pay-per-views in a row, a few Raws in a row, and it was the same match. I mean, I was over it. But I'm happy to see him wrestling Mark Henry. I'm just, anyone else, I'm not liking the Mark, I'm not seeing where the Mark Henry thing is going. He gets a new push every few years. Nothing about him ever changes. You know, people in the WWE are always changing it up. You know, Taker went from being the dead man to the American badass to, you know, his next one. And then Kane lost the mask. And, you know, people are always inventing themselves. Mark Henry's never changed.
We lost Jamal. Where'd he go, Kevin?
He hung up. He said he's only sticking around for TNA.
He got disconnected. That's okay.
He just didn't want to talk to me. Now my feelings are hurt.
I talked to him earlier. He said he was just sticking around for TNA, and then he was bolting.
Yep, his very special lady friend has other plans for him, I believe.
He's getting
so. Hey now, save that for the non-family talk on the rest of this network, or a wholesome Christian show. No, there's no Christianity.
Oh well, God, don't start the idiocy I've had to deal with for the last 2 days over Christian BS.
I don't understand.
Stab you, Wojcik.
Wow. Wait a minute. What did I miss?
Oh, you'll hear about it later on. We'll move on. We'll keep the show moving. Spug can pontificate on his week in a minute or two.
No, what does it matter if Henry's gimmick changes or not? You know? Hogan's gimmick didn't change for 20 plus years.
Oh yeah, I mean absolutely. I mean, you're absolutely right. It just the difference is Hogan has largely worked. Every time
Ric Flair is the same gimmick since the 70s.
But
you
are
know?
You comparing Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair to Mark Henry? I mean, these are two completely opposite ends of the spectrum.
No, all right. Here's what you're saying. This is what I got from what you just said, was that Mark Henry is boring because his gimmick never changes. And my point to that is that Ric Flair's gimmick never changed. Hogan's gimmick never changed. Undertaker's gimmick, for the large part, never changed. If something works, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
If Mark Henry worked, he would not have spent 75% of his career to this point at lower mid card. He gets a push like this every few years, and he always returns to lower mid card. I don't remember him doing anything significant since he beat Kane for the ECW title at Night of Champions a few years ago. I mean, he always ends up in the exact same place. And you know what? Yeah, you're right. Undertaker, Lair, Hogan, they've all always also very rarely changed. But their stuff works. His is not.
Or Mark Henry's changed all the time. A ton of time. Taker's changed a bunch of times. And
Mark Henry.
He was able to click it.
Mark Henry is not a gimmick that you need to change. It's not. He's a monster. He's a monster.
When you're on Superstars most of your career, you might want to consider changing.
What does it matter? Is he making bank?
Jersey Girl wants me to bring up, don't forget the ever popular sexual chocolates, Mark Henry.
He's making bank, right? And with a guy that size, he's not doing seated sentons off the top rope.
Yeah, he's not an X Division star.
He's not flying around the ring. His job is to come in there for 3 to 5 minutes on average.
And if you're happy to just make money and be on lower mid card, then I would 100% agree with you. But the fact that he does take every push that he gets and try to do something with it, I'll give him that. If he was happy being lower mid card and just making money, I don't think he'd be going with these pushes. Every once in a while he'll get a push, but most of the time he's not getting a whole lot of TV time. There's only so much you can do with big and slow.
Because Andre the Giant didn't want to be a main eventer.
Again, Andre the Giant and Mark Henry are nowhere near comparable.
They're monsters. That's what they are.
And Andre is a legend. And
Andre is a legend because of his size.
Right, but that was a way one in a million shot. He legitimately had something wrong with him that made him the way he was. Mark Henry is just a big and slow dude who spends all of his time on lower mid-card superstars. Every once in a while, he gets a push, and if what he was doing was working, he would be getting more of his career would have been on Raw and SmackDown instead of Superstars. I mean, come
Mark
on, we all know what Superstars is.
Mark Henry is that big because he was an Olympic athlete, and he legitimately is the world's strongest man.
Yeah,
that title.
Right. He's still lower mid-card. His career is still not going anywhere.
It doesn't matter. Here's the thing that I think you're failing to understand, is that Mark Henry, all right, Steve Lombardi, Brooklyn Brawler, ton of charisma, great talent, great worker. He was the Brooklyn Brawler. All right.
I remember.
He was a curtain jerker and a lower mid card guy. He got thrown out there week after week after week after week, night after night, through the era of working 300 days a year to test and work with the new guys that they were bringing in to see if they could get a push or if they needed a little bit more polishing.
Bret Hart comes to mind.
What's that?
It was one of Bret Hart's first matches ever in WWF of the 80s.
Right. Mark Henry is in that same vein. Not exactly the same, but in that same vein. If you look at the individuals that have worked with Mark Henry, most of them are on their way up the rung in the WWE. There is a reason for everything. And so the push every couple of years is probably WWE's way of saying, thank you for helping us.
No, I don't think there's anything wrong with Mark Henry getting the spot he's got. I mean, he's been there a lot longer than a lot of the roster here. So he main events a pay-per-view. He main events Night of Champions. Good for you, dude. I'm proud of it. We found out at the opening of the show on SmackDown that Randy Orton was set up to sit and watch the Battle Royal. And of course, we had a legacy mini reunion as Cody Rhodes, the new Intercontinental Champion, christened it. Unfortunately, Teddy, our buddy Ted DiBiase, never got to finish his speech because as Randy proved again, RKO's come out of nowhere, right, Diamond Dallas Page? So, they said, all right, he is not the Virgil of 2011 Rock. Good Lord, man. Don't put Teddy down like that. Teddy's awesome. Just ask my 9-year-old. She'll knock you out. Yeah, so we end up having Teddy Long say, you know what? You want to work? Cool. You're going to work. Cody Rhodes takes on and defeats former Intercontinental Champion Ezekiel Jackson. Had a very interesting video package of Justin Gabriel on the recent tour of South Africa, where he is from, and nice to see him have a great match with Tyson Kidd. And if they're going to start doing this cruiserweight thing that seems to be all over the interwebs, Spug, these are two guys I would totally build it around. Because Gabriel and him and TJ Wilson, Tyson Kidd, can go, and if this is a match that may build to something and we may see a series of these, I don't have a problem seeing these guys work every night of the week.
I told you about a month and a half ago that you were going to see a new X Division sort of in the WWE.
Yeah, hopefully not with a weight limit of 220 pounds as Eric Bischoff put on the X Division. Jerk.
Well, they had the light heavyweight division back in the day, and it was a weight limit of what, 215?
May have been 215, 220.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that, because guys like Benoit, Malenko, and Jericho would have still been able to compete. I don't see anything wrong with that.
You could mix Daniel Bryan in this mix, too, if you wanted to. He's the right height.
Sure.
And whichever person is underneath the Sin Cara mask, as we found out at TV.
What?
Sin Cara wasn't really Sin Cara at a couple events. It was a gentleman named Hunico, I think it was, works down here in FCW that when he was still on his suspension, so they put Sin Cara numero dos out there, so to speak. So I'm not even sure if that was the Sin Cara actually attacking Del Rio after his match with Daniel Bryan.
Didn't the original Sin Cara start returning at the live events this week?
May have been that he's going to be on the taping, which is going on actually in Calgary tonight. I don't know if Tim Stein's over, if he went there with the rest of every other member of the Hart family, according to Smith Hart. They're at the live event. Do we want to break that, Sir Rockin? Yeah, according to Sir Rockin, he's already looking at the spoiler alerts for Friday Night SmackDown. So I'll give you 5 seconds to cover your ears if you don't want to hear this. You got five, you got four, you got three, you got two, you got one. There's a brand new general manager on Friday Night SmackDown, and da-da-da-da, it's Bret the Hitman Hart.
For this Friday.
He says as of this Friday. Now, is Teddy out? What's going on, Sir Rockin? Can you clue us in? Oh, as of this Friday.
I think it's just for this Friday.
I don't know. Just this week? Oh, man. So we're going to start having a guest general manager on SmackDown now? Get the computer over there to argue with Teddy Long. It'll be funny. WWE's Twitter says this Friday on WWE SmackDown will be SmackDown GM from his hometown of Calgary. Okay, why not? Got no problem with that. We did have a Divas match on the show. AJ and Kelly Kelly defeated Natty Neidhart and Alicia Fox. Are we fine with Del Rio being on SmackDown like he was, Spug? I mean, is he going to be a traveling champion like the old champions were? You think he should just stick to one show, or is it good to cross-pollinate him every so often? And vice versa, have Orton go to Raw, maybe.
I think you need to unify. I am still of the opinion that roster needs to be, or at least your championships, need to unify, and you need to travel. If you're going to split the roster, you need one champion. Because often, SmackDown and Raw are in the same geographical location. You know, Raw might be running out of Houston, but SmackDown could be in Dallas, right? Like, this week, Raw was in Edmonton, SmackDown's in Calgary. Not that far of a jaunt. So, if you want your champion to appear, you know, on, say, SmackDown, have them take a jaunt down to SmackDown. I'm not saying they have to be on both shows every week, but I really do think that it is time to unify the titles, because there are way too many titles for the amount of television time that you have.
Yeah, because I brought this up with Sir Rock and Jackie, that I was like, wait a minute, what's Kelly doing over here? And he said, no, the Divas Champion travels show to show. And I was like, okay. and you merged your tag titles, so okay, why not?
Still got awful.
Oh, we'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah.
But so why not? Is he right? Is it maybe by Mania? You want to do a unification at Mania like they were supposed to have done last year?
I'll give him credit. He was wrong about Mark Henry, but he's right about this. There's a theory called I'm not going to go into that, but it says that the more of something you have, the less each individual unit is worth. What's it called? Diminishing marginal utility. The more of this kind of stuff you have, the more belts are going to be there. They're not going to mean anything. And WrestleMania 6, being the Intercontinental Champion, was enough to have you headline WrestleMania with the champion. Nowadays, there's so many belts, it's just like, it's hard to even take them seriously. Get rid of some of them. Get rid of the Divas belt. Hell, that'd make me happy.
Don't worry, we'll have stock news in a few moments here on All Out World of Wrestling Radio.
It's just, you just cannot have that many belts and have them mean anything. I mean, once we have the European title and the hardcore title and the cruiserweight title and the, oh my god, two tag team titles.
But the belt, when there was a WWF title, an Intercontinental title, the European title, the hardcore title, cruiserweight and women's, they all still meant something. All the belts still meant something at that point. Let's not fool anything here. The belt has always been a prop. Always.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
For as much as we want to say, oh, that belt used to mean something, it's always been a prop. It's always been, it may have been a status symbol, but it has always been something to get the storyline over. And when, you know, you start diluting it, unfortunately, because in today's media age with wrestling, there's not enough TV time for everything that you need to do to make those belts continue to mean something. And there's the old saying that less is more. Well, you know, go to one heavyweight title, one mid-card title. If you want, you could have two mid-card titles with the U.S. or Intercontinental belt and the Cruiserweight belt. And then you have your tag team and your women's title. That's enough titles for one roster. And by the way, if I was wrong about Mark Henry, you sure as hell were wrong about Daniel Bryan.
Well, those who can't do teach, you know. That's what's wrong with Mark Henry.
Okay. Okay. But everybody go to a corner for a minute. Back off for a second.
Back on the subject. He's right.
Yeah.
And I would suggest that things like what was his name? David Arquette winning the World Heavyweight Championship also doesn't help. It kind of makes a mockery of things. I mean,
violated the David Arquette rule, man. You need a 5-second timeout.
No one told me there was a David Arquette rule.
I have a David Arquette rule. You can't bring up that title change.
That was at the time not even under the WWE umbrella.
Exactly.
And two, it was being booked by Vince Russo, the same guy who wore a Giants uniform and helmet to the ring, only to get speared through the side of a cage by Goldberg.
In the Nassau Coliseum, of all places to do it, and he thought, hey, I'm from Long Island, this would bring money in. This is why you don't have a WCW, unless you go out and buy the best WCW Nitro, available through WWE.com.
Okay, Alan, right. before I come back, I need like a list of all the rules.
Yeah, no David Arquette. We don't talk about him unless you're talking about his ex-wife, and then you can talk all you want about that.
His very hot ex-wife.
Yes, available in Cougar Town, coming soon to a series near you on ABC. The longest running episodic show in history. God, can we just shoot Cole and get it over with?
Cole was actually tolerable this week.
Surprising, yeah.
This is what surprised me. Cole, tolerable. Jerry Lawler, I don't know what the hell crawled up his ass. I really don't. But to bury CM Punk the way he did at the end of Raw was entirely disrespectful.
It was weird. I was watching it with Sir Rock and Mace for a while, and Jackie, and I'm just sitting there going, did I really just hear what I thought I just heard?
I don't understand why he did what he did. You know, this is an individual who single-handedly made your company the most relevant thing to watch and talk about in years for a span of a month and a half. And it's brought fans in. It's brought fans back that haven't watched wrestling in God knows how long.
Look at those t-shirt sales, man.
I know.
Seriously.
$500 on eBay. Wow.
This is a t-shirt that they can't keep in stock. So to bury him like that, as we were talking about the handshake thing earlier, dude, that's disrespectful.
Do you think he may have caught some crap afterward backstage from that, from Vince or Stephanie, whoever? Or do you think that he went into business for himself, Spud?
I don't know if he went into business for himself. I'm not going to assume anything like that. But I also don't know if he caught anything backstage, because what are you going to tell Jerry Lawler? You know, I mean, he's been with your company for 20 years. You know, what the hell are you going to tell him?
Yeah, no more fruit salad for you, King. No more messing with the divas. You go away. Our show was opened. Monday Night Raw was opened by the champion. Yes. Or the patron, as Ricardo Rodriguez calls him, Alberto Del Rio, who ended up almost having a Top Gear moment. Is that the show in England that they drive the cars on? It almost killed Tom Cruise. There's Cena and Punk get into a car off. It's like, what the crap, man? So, of course, Law and Order gets corralled by Spug's husband, Triple H himself, who says, yes, you're going to see John Cena and CM Punk later on. Whoever wins that gets Alberto Del Rio at Night of Champions. Note, if you look into my keyboard right now, where it's listing the Night of Champions card, I still have Alberto Del Rio versus, I'll get to that in a minute. John Morrison was a surprise opponent Triple H had set up for Alberto Del Rio, and interesting. I think it's good, Jackie and Spug, because it's establishing Del Rio as the way the champion should be. That Del Rio as the champ should be able to go Monday night, take on someone high flyer like this. Tuesday night, he could take on a big guy like Sheamus or Mark Henry or Kane. Wednesday night, he could flip around and be a part of a tag match or a six-man match and so forth and so on. So to see him with the parkour guy here, who's still licking his wounds from his very special lady friend getting future endeavored, you know, who is available on iPay-Per-View on November 19th, good Lord willing, she'll be on our show.
For like $3,000, yeah.
Hey, I'm praying to the buddy Christ that she'll sit down with us and break bread and everything, but...
Do you have $3,000?
No, not working it that way. The Mick is working. I got Sean McCaffrey on my side, man. But I like the way they're moving Del Rio here. As we said, he's bouncing show to show, has a great match on Friday Night SmackDown with Daniel Bryan, and another one here with John Morrison. Are you fine so far with the first couple things we've done with Del Rio?
I really like seeing Del Rio as champion, and I didn't think that I would. I felt real, to be honest, I just feel kind of bad for him, because he got promised that belt so many times. And okay, well, here you can have it. Oh, but Edge is going to retire, so we got to pull it away from you a little bit longer. You know, he's really sucked it up, and he finally got what he wanted, and he's doing really well. Unfortunately, I haven't seen the spoilers for what he's going to do tonight as far as the details, but if going on Monday and going on Tuesday, I mean, that's unfortunately what the champion's got to do, and so far he's done it. I'll give him credit.
Eve defeated one of the Bella Twins. Not really sure, because by the time I came back into the room, I was like, what do you mean it's over? Like, sorry, my daughter woke up and said she wanted daddy. She didn't want mommy. She didn't want Nana. She wanted daddy. So, sorry, Bella Twins and Ea Torres. You got beat out by the 2-year-old executive producer of the show. Alex Riley made another appearance, this time defeating Jack Swagger, who may or may not be Vicky Guerrero's new client. That's, of course, if Dolph Ziggler's got a say in the matter. She's supposedly not a love interest to him, but it's still got to be there. Is this eventually going to be a thing, Ziggler versus Swagger?
Ziggler versus Swagger,
for Vicky,
yeah.
For Vicky's hand. Do we put Vicky on a pole while we're at it?
I don't know. Personally, I'd rather – I mean, I like Vicky Guerrero. I really do. I mean, I ran into her here in El Paso. She's wonderful. But I, rather than spreading Vicky around too much, let's actually bring in some other managers.
Kelly needs a manager.
Kelly needs to be a manager. I like her better as a manager than a wrestler.
Yeah, never
Kelly,
know.
Kelly's an awesome diva. I want to see her wrestle more.
Shut up. Oh my God.
As the champ, you're going to see her on TV no matter what. Awesome. We came to an interesting moment of the program, and that was Triple H and Kevin Nash doing a little verbal sparring. Oh, Triple H saying, no, I didn't do it. Kevin going, no, yes, she did. Then who did? So, of course, we have our own version of WWE Clue the Board Game, brought to you by your host, CM Punk, who once again cut another great promo that I'm sitting there and I'm going, okay, do I pick up the soda and drink right now, or is he going to say something that I'm going to end up killing my laptop with? Were we fine with the sucker punch that was thrown, Spug? It moved it along a little bit, that apparently Nash was told, no, can't do that, Kev. Can't do that. No, you need to leave.
Sorry, and, I have queso. Come here.
Oh, goodness. Final score, queso 1, our show nothing.
I was fine with it. It's gonna set up CM Punk versus Kevin Nash, we know that.
Hopefully not at Night of Champions, but you never know. They may sneak it in there.
Probably. It'll probably be at Night of Champions with some stipulation that if CM Punk wins, he gets, you know, the winner of Cena and Del Rio.
Right. Which leads me to...
Hold on. I'm not done.
I'm sorry, Nacho Libre.
I'm not done.
Okay.
The thing, though, that bugs me, and this is... you had a really, really good storyline going with just Punk and John Cena. And you could have interjected Kevin Nash, and you could have interjected the Johnny Ace, Triple H thing, the whole thing that they did at the end of the match at SummerSlam without involving Alberto Del Rio. If you want to give Alberto Del Rio a belt, send him back to SmackDown and have him chase Randy Orton. That's a better idea. There's way too many Chiefs and not enough Indians in this storyline right now. And you could have kept this storyline going, and it would have been fantastic without the introduction of Del Rio into it.
Well, let me before Jackie gives her point here, I want to bring in also the fact, but we'll mention the tag team match in a minute, but Johnny Laryngitis, as he's known, after the tag team title match, chases down Triple H and says, da-da-da-da, Kevin Nash car accident. Coincidence? After what we just talked about with Kevin? little poke at Matthew?
No coincidence. I like the fact that they're keeping that secret, but I got to agree the timing of the storyline is a little off, but it's been off since the beginning. I mean, they brought Punk back way too soon anyway. So,
no,
I mean, he's just got to disagree with everything I said. But
no, they didn't. Because what are you going to do? They were flailing around heading into the biggest pay-per-view of the summer. It's WrestleMania and SummerSlam are their two big pay-per-views. You were going to go into SummerSlam without John Cena as your champion and probably having the belt on Rey Mysterio. Now, granted, the pay-per-view's in L.A., Rey Mysterio probably would have sold you tickets, but you needed to do something, and I said all along that CM Punk had re-signed long ago and had a handshake agreement with Vince.
It is possible to have a WWE storyline without John Cena as the world champion.
Scary.
It is possible.
It
may have been possible just to try it. It may have, you know, maybe to see if maybe it's, you know, maybe possible.
Well, let's backtrack for a minute here. We mentioned the god-awful WWE Tag Team Championship belts. Well, they've got new ways to hang around, and that's the thrown-together team of Kofi Kingston and Evan Bourne taking the belts off of the former Nexus members of Otunga and McGillicuddy. Fine with this, Spug? Could you have just...
With Kofi and Bourne?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. I'm down. I want to see them rebuild the tag division and actually like awesomely truthful. Great tag team name.
Is that
great.
A Night of Champions match in either one of his minds? Do you see the Kofi and Evan having instead of Otunga and Henning, them taking on Truth and Miz?
it'd be worth it just to see how they do as a tag team. I like both of them together. So I just would like to see it. If it just happens to be at Night of Champions, that's fine with me.
Mace brought up when we were talking last night, he said, and this was your future endeavor for Otunga and McGillicuddy. Do you agree, or do you think they can stick around on the main roster, either as a tag team or make them singles?
I don't know.
I'm hoping going with singles. I would hate to see them go. I really would.
I would like to see them repackage McGillicuddy and allow him to acknowledge his heritage.
Agreed.
He has, but he also has said, he claims, oh, McGillicuddy is my mother's maiden name.
Yeah.
And that's how they swept it under the rug.
Yeah, McGillicuddy's your mother's maiden name, and my mother's maiden name is Smith.
Yeah, mine is Valdez. That's still not going to work. I mean, it just, he's got such a...
Is there a burro and a small Colombian man in your kitchen?
yes. Wow.
Which leads to our main event, which was John Cena taking on CM Punk. And thanks to Kevin Nash, unless something changes between now and then, your WWE champion Alberto Del Rio is going to take on John Cena.
Wow.
Hey, I went there. Do you blame? I liked Del Rio immediately hitting the ring and going, great, you're the number one contender. Cool, I'm the champ. Boom, 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 boom. Loved every second of it.
I loved how both John Cena and CM Punk kind of just blew him off. Like, they're sitting there fighting over who's going to be the number one contender, did not even acknowledge the fact that Del Rio was standing there. I thought that was hilarious.
So, do we still agree that this eventually will lead? Is this going to be a singles match, Spug? I know we're a few weeks away. We're not even in September yet. So you can keep Nash away for a little while, let Nash and Punk have their thing on Raw, but don't bring it to the pay-per-view?
No, I think it'll be a three-way. It'll be Punk versus Cena versus Del Rio at Night of Champions, which is funny because the Raw is in Cleveland the night after, and we're going to it.
All right, cool.
And they keep advertising on local radio stations and local television for that Raw. The main event of the evening is CM Punk versus John Cena. Champion versus champion.
That's still weird.
Wow.
That's what they keep advertising.
There's going to be something wrong with their advertising because I bought tickets for an event coming up here in September. According to Ticketmaster and the website and the WWE website, it's a SmackDown, but they're advertising John Cena and Del Rio. So they're just going to have messed up advertising. I have no idea.
It's not that there's messed up. It's not messed up advertising at all. I guarantee you John Cena and Del Rio will be there at that SmackDown. You can guarantee it. But I guarantee you it will be Cena and Punk champion versus champion at that Raw. The funny thing is that the majority of the card is released long before that event ever happens.
Yeah.
To the local market. And so you have people like me going, how the hell are they going to put both belts back on both individuals before that day? Now, I know it's this card subject to change at the bottom, but still, it's like, if that's your, you know, your big seller, how the hell do you plan on putting the belt back on both of them?
I have no idea, and that's why I'm not in advertising, kids. Oh, Sorokin is chiming in. Yes, that is outdated info. That does happen. Not much you can do about that one. Don't forget, the history of WWE.com is where you can find Triple Talk Wrestling Radio and, the Thursday before Night of Champions, there will be the, second edition of Triple Talk Wrestling Radio with myself, with our host, Jackie Feist and Teddy Prentice. Is Graham Cawthon going to be a part of episode 2 is the great question.
As of now, he is, yes, and then we're working on Brian Shields for episode 3.
All right. We're working on possibly having Brian on again soon. He's a favorite of ours around here.
Oh, yeah, real nice guy. Love Brian.
Yep, everybody loves him. I've never met anybody that says, he's a jerk. he morphs into so many avenues and video games and everything. Let me ask this real quick. If either one of you interested in this WWE 12 game?
Yes.
No, I'm really not. Care less.
I was watching a preview of some of the entrances, and as much as they're talking about WWE 12 not being just a rebrand of SmackDown versus Raw, you know, it looks identical. I don't know what changes have been made.
Just the title?
That's very possible because, you know, I found the Undertaker entrance. I mean, it's identical. Now they say some of the changes have been made to the gameplay. And I mean, certainly that's great, but I'm not buying it as a rebrand at this point because it's the exact same everything.
Yep. Stuff like this can be heard on Wednesday nights, 9 o'clock on this network, the Otaku Talk Live gentlemen with Spug, with Mace, with the Omega. They cover video games, they cover comic books, movies, all kinds of stuff. Anything possible that you can,
No clue.
All right. Great work there.
I have no idea. What's going on tomorrow night?
Yeah, just tune in. You never know what happens. OTL, Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern.
Last week, we actually had a really good show.
When is the next UFC event? Do we have a date for that yet?
I haven't been able to pay attention.
I think it's Saturday?
Is it Saturday? It is Saturday. Oh, my God. It's in Brazil. Anderson Spider Silva is taking on... Jushin Thunder Okami, and then there's a couple others. But yeah, it's in Brazil.
You had me going for a minute there because I heard the Jushin Thunder, and I was like, Jushin Liger went to UFC? Holy crap, I'm definitely involved there.
No, Jushin Thunder Okami is his name.
Okay. So there will be a From Tap Outs to Knockouts with you and Mace? Will that possibly going on?
Entirely plausible, my friend.
Okay, so check out this is where you keep up to date on the Facebook at facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork.
And you also are available on the Twitter. Go give your Twitter. Give the Twitter.
Twitter.com/WildTalkRadio.
Spug is at TapOut2KO. Jackie is Jackie Feist, the Mace thing. Kevin_K on a score Scott. And unfortunately for me, yes, my name is Wojcik. If you do tune in and you hang out for the UFC, you get to listen to the one, the only CB Radio, which is hosted by Sir Rockin, Subway, and The Godfather. Recap everything that went down this past Saturday if people want to check out the archive.
What happened this past Saturday? I talked a lot.
All right.
I talked a lot. We talked movies. We talked the strange gimmick movies and, like, people, you know, going to movies and they get shocked. We talked that and all the worst-selling movies of all time. Plus, you know, the naked cowgirl get busted in New York and, you know, all that fun stuff. Check it out. CB Radio, Midnight-ish. You never know what we'll talk about.
Absolutely. did a new great debate start this past Sunday? Was it the greatest feuds debate? Did it start Sunday?
We ran long, so we're starting it this Sunday.
Okay. Preface it for fans real quick so they know what's coming on this Sunday night.
64 of the greatest feuds of all time. Debate it till there's only one.
Now, do you get a nice intro, or are you carting out an Omega old school type?
No. I think this actually is getting an intro.
This one's actually getting an intro and may even have a commercial.
Yeah, because this is, I mean, a lot of work went into this.
Yeah, it did.
Here. let me give you a preview, Wojcik,
okay.
of some of the feuds that are in this. We have Horseman LOD, Von Erich's Freebirds, Punk and Hardy, Flair and Savage, Dusty Rhodes, Billy Graham, Dusty Rhodes and Flair, Valentine, Tito Santana, DX and the Nation of Domination.
Let me stop you. Hold on. Let me stop right there. We'll just say this Sunday we're starting off big. Triple H, Shawn Michaels versus Kane and Undertaker, Mick Foley and The Rock versus Sabu and Taz. That's how.
I heard Kane. I'll be there.
That's how we're starting.
Yeah, that's how we're starting. Oh, by the way, Bruiser Brody and Abdul the Butcher are in there, too.
Yeah. The Great Debate, heard on Wrestle Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern, this Sunday.
And this one was my idea again.
Yeah.
Some of the best great debates have come out of my brain.
Yes, they do.
Also, some of the worst.
I know.
No, no, I'm being dead serious.
The good, the bad, and the ugly. Russell Talk Radio, Sunday night.
No, and as everyone has seen, next Tuesday night, yeah, this WWE's like, you know what, I'm not going to even claim any of that. It's a super card. They're avoiding having the talent work Labor Day. They want to give them time off. Good for them. So Tuesday night, 8 o'clock on Sci-Fi, they're going to have Friday Night SmackDown.
Who cares? Who cares? Come here at 8 o'clock. We'll be here.
Yep, I may or may not. 8 o'clock? There's Bug. I believe Sorokin will be here. I think Jackie may or may not be here. I'm not showing up till 9 because, unfortunately, the 2-year-old doesn't let me do stuff around 8 o'clock unless bathtub.
All I said was come to wildtalkradio.com Tuesday at 8 o'clock. We'll be here. Doesn't say what we're doing. We'll be here. Get it? We'll chat with you.
Yep. And don't forget, no matter what, 9 o'clock, we'll be here. We're working on, as I said, the Month of Honor. We'll start, it may even start next week. It'll depend on Ring of Honor itself.
Carino-san! I want Carino-san!
We're going to put an email in to the King of Old School himself. We may get his sponsor, Jimmy Jacobs. We may not. We've put in requests for some folks in ROH. I know Jay Lethal, unless something's changed, he's back September 20th. So, don't forget, it is Online World of Wrestling Radio Tuesday night.
That is my favorite promo for the network, by the way.
Oh, it's his?
Yeah. The Black Machismo one he did, favorite one.
Yeah, well, we may end up getting to actually talk with the Black Machismo. That may actually be very comical if we get him on as the character. As mentioned, you can follow us on Twitter at my name is Wojcik, which is spelled W-O-J-C-I-K. You can check out the OWW Genesis forum if you choose to do that, even though they've abandoned my ass. WRW Wrestling, all one word, .net. All Wild Talk Radio stuff can be heard through ultimatesportstalk.com. There's an app for you, isn't there, Wild Talk Radio people?
There is. I have it, actually.
See, we actually have a person who has the goddamn app, and it works. So check it out.
Yes, it does.
See, all my hard work pays off. You can find that at, as I load up the website, you can go to wildtalkradio.mobapp.at and get the mobile app for your phone and listen and follow along and all that fun stuff.
That way you're sitting in a live event like Michael Tarver was tonight and going, hey, I want to listen to all my world of wrestling radio because this show sucks.
People keep up with our Facebook post and find them entertaining while they're at work during Monday Night Raw. So check it out.
Yep, we've been having some fun doing that. Not 100% sure if I'll be able to watch Friday Night SmackDown TNA Wrestling Impact Live or not. All depends on the household itself, but Sorokin will definitely be checking that out. Jackie will not. She does not watch TNA wrestling.
It's how
actually, you know what? I did. I watched one of Mickie James's TNA matches last night.
All right.
Yay for
cool.
me.
It keeps you entertained if you tweet along with the show. If not, you'll be bored.
Yeah, it's not a drinking game. Maybe it is. I don't know.
That's why I started surfing midgets petting fish on Google.
Oh, God. All right.
I'm kidding.
Wow.
I think that's the cue to get out of here now.
Absolutely. Thanks to Jackie Feist for being here, the one and only Jamal, Kevin Scott. Don't forget, you can find Michael Tarver online. We'll post all his information in our archive, which will show up tomorrow afternoon. Mace should rejoin us next week. Thanks to Spug, he can enjoy our last song of the night, the late great Jermaine Dupri. If you saw Zach and Mary make a porno, you heard the song in there as well. So we don't have to tear our clothes off to have a good time. I may not be on 24/7, but my show's better than yours, bitch. Have a good night.
Not a word from your lips. The simple breath that I want to skin it in. A quick hit, that's your game. But I'm not a
www.tna.com.